Two things jumped out at me from the presser. Jeez. Number one was how incredibly old Pineda looks. Like, if you're watching that YouTube, like, it's almost like he's aged 15 years in a month. And
it does things to you, huh?
It does. I think the pressure is manifesting itself visibly on his face. He doesn't have that.
Look at Klopp. Poor man. It's getting wrinkles.
Somebody said that today. They're like, and that right there.
I saw, and you won today.
When Tottenham scored those two goals and made it interesting in the last 20 minutes, they said right there, they said the look on Klopp's face after that second goal, that's why he needs a year off.
Yeah, pretty much. He does that right there. That man needs time off. From just outside the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, where we are tired of the same old trope and are in dire need of a new hope.
I can't even laugh at it.
It's not bad. It's a May the 4th thing. It's not bad.
No, I get it.
Recording on Revenge of the 5th.
But like, Revenge of the 5th. I got nothing to laugh about.
It's not very funny right now.
It's not funny.
We're going to get through this. It is the Five Takes Podcast and we are back.
We're back.
Back to
the same old shit is apparently what we're back at.
I guess we can go with that. I was going to go with like diss tracks between rappers. I have no dog in that fight between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. I think Kendrick is a phenomenal lyricist. Drake may be the better rapper between the two. But I don't have
one of my favorite
things, sides on that one.
One of my favorite things that I saw, there's this show, I think it's called like After Midnight, I think. And I don't remember the name of the host, but she's freaking hilarious. And they were asking everybody about their take on that. And they were like, you know, going down the line. And the funniest one was they actually get to Drew Carey. And he says, wait, Drake, isn't that the guy from Degrassi? Has he done stuff since then? Is that who we're talking about? The kid from Degrassi? Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know anything about that. That was his whole thing, and she gave him like all the points.
I think so did you see the video the club put out? They had the tiny mic out.
Yes, with the play on the AMC.
Not that one. That one was great with Joe Fryhofer. That was wonderful. But when they at the training ground and they were asking all the players Drake or Kendrick, and Dax comes up to the mic and he's just lost. God bless you, Dax.
Who's that?
God bless you, Dax. You white dad, Dax. We love
white,
you, man.
You white,
we
white.
We love
man.
You, man. Well,
I'll admit, I discovered Shaboozy over the weekend and that song, and I was like, wow. And I was like, am I late? Has this been out for like a while? But apparently, it hasn't been out like that long because it just dethroned Beyonce in the country charts. So now hip hop country is a thing. It wasn't a thing. It was before.
Yeah.
But now it's
there's
like,
always been crossover.
Now, of course.
Yeah.
And if you really look back at the history of music and you think that country and hip hop and the African American community didn't have influence on each other, then you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm well aware of all that. But it's just interesting how chart topping and prevalent it is, you know, right now. So it's I was like, wow, oh, this, I was like, this kind of slaps.
Something that is not topping the charts right now is Atlanta United.
Wow.
It's tough right now. It's really tough, guys.
I'm rubbing my eyes. I'm just like,
and the title speaks for itself. We have been here.
Mm-hmm. We're tired of being here.
Tired of being here.
I didn't want to sign up for the sequel and like part three of the same movie.
I mean,
like,
there's supposed to be different stories here. It does feel freakishly similar to last year. A lot of hope, a lot of expectation, a lot of are we back? Is this good? Are we good? And then boom, off a cliff. This team, and I think this has been the case for many years now, seems to be mentally fragile. We're very emotional. things don't go our way. And boy, does it just snowball. And we can't seem to get back on track. Like if something bad happens, man, we just collapse. Guys, this is the third game this season where we've been scored on twice in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, shit, even less than 10 minutes, even less than 10 minutes or less than 15 minutes, a 15 minute in between goals.
But specifically, that's bad enough. Getting scored on. Yeah. We got scored on again. Enough.
Yeah.
In less than 5 minutes, yeah. The third time it's happened in a month.
They were both sloppy bonehead plays. Like it wasn't, oh, Minnesota made a great run, or they made the kind of goal that, you know, Schmuck from Philly scored on us that was like a world beater.
Yeah.
Kind of,
or,
you know,
or it's
a Wagner.
Like a super really no well worked all the way out of the back, all the way down.
One was on a set piece where Tristan had a guy marked and he might as well have just been standing around with his thumb up his ass.
Yeah.
And then the other one was a really sloppy pass in the, you know, the buildup from Caleb and Tristan before. That got picked off.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Two sloppy mistakes. That's your whole goddamn season. And I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Everything below the waist is kaput.
Kaput.
We're gonna get into it.
Let's put it this way: we have pooped.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm trying for you. Like Jennifer and I are right here.
It's kind of an odd weekend, right? Braves got swept.
Yeah.
Dodgers. Chelsea put 5 past Wet Spam.
Hey, Liverpool's back.
Liverpool won. Spurs are getting Spursy towards the end.
No. Glenn, I don't think you, and I'm sorry because we've been really, really good about like this whole not talk about Premier League shit.
We have been very good about it.
So good, but I have to have like a moment of utter Spursy despair because what happens this week is the Spursiest thing ever.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
We have a makeup match with City, right? Mm-hmm. Which, if we don't win this match with City, we'll have lost 5 matches in a row to end the season, right?
Ooh.
Brutal. But guess what happens if we win this match against City? Arsenal the fucking league title. Is there anything more Spursy than that?
Not really.
So if you're introducing a new fan to the sport, at least to the EPL, and you want to explain Tottenham Hotspur.
I love too that it's basically a verb. It's an adverb, right? Spursy.
It's a state of being, I believe.
The announcers used it today. They literally used it. They're like, is that a
Known.
It was like, gosh, that's such a Spursy thing to have just happened. Like,
yes.
I think it was after the second goal. They were like, surely Liverpool wouldn't give up a 4-goal lead. And then they followed it up with, but if Spurs can somehow manage to come back, that's about the Spursiest thing to have happen.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Like, yeah,
it is. If I may offer you just a bit of, not consolation, just perspective on the matter. I'm not in favor of either of those teams winning the league either. I hate them both. I hate City.
I know.
I
was going to ask you guys that today. What is worse?
But go ahead, Arsenal. I'm tired of City winning it.
I think that's
year
what I
after
have to
year.
Say too. Damn
I think
it.
Arteta probably deserves it. I think he's done a good job. He's had the trajectory I wish Pineda had. Right?
Sure.
New coach.
Sure.
Struggles, call for his head, and he's come good, pretty well. I mean, he's close to winning trophy. He hasn't won anything yet. I wish that had happened with Pineda. It seems less and less likely at this point. It'd be a massive turnaround. I'm here for it if it happens. If we go and win 5 straight, cool, great, wonderful. That would be the biggest shock in the history of this club.
But I think that would prove something too. It was okay. So you do have the capability of
that's
pushing
pretty
the players.
Damning on both parties, huh?
It is. You're saying, okay, so you do have the ability to bring out the best in these players and do something as crazy as winning five matches in a row. And yet you have the ability to bring out the worst in them too and lose or go winless in five.
Same thing for the players too, though. So y'all could do it.
No, it's like, oh, so you do have the ability to do these and score these goals and prevent these goals and everything. So what the fuck have you been doing up to this point?
I really have a hard, like with all due respect, and yes, we've had some brain fart goals, but I have a really, really hard time, like, not, you know, not continuing to, you know, this is the same problem we had last year in reverse. This, you know, last year we had the best offense in the league and the shittiest defense in the league. Yeah. Now we have one of the best defenses in the league and a craptacular offense.
Right. It's like, and we have defense in reserve. We have defense that's injured that will come back. You know, we have
we've been six deep into the center back pool and we have been fine. And so, like, that's the thing that's just so mind-boggling is why can't we have, you know, these are the same players from last fall when we were lighting the league up.
Yeah.
None of that changed.
And that's the difference between last year at this time and this year at this time is that we have a different set of talent than we did. You know, the personnel is different. The circumstances.
I mean,
are the
same. I will say
if the personnel is different, but the circumstances are the same, what are the varying factors there?
What we have now that's different from what we had when we started last year, and we were all admittedly very optimistic after the end of March of last year. Let's all be real about that. We have a much better midfield. On paper, in Yumba and Sleash, where
I thought you were going with a Cool Hand Luke reference.
I don't watch spaghetti westerns.
A failure to communicate.
I'm just saying, like, the midfield, the talent upgrade in the midfield from last summer to now, on paper, should be a hell of a lot better. So, the depth that we have, both at the, you know, on paper in the midfield to come in. If Sleash and Miyumba are not doing, and you know, I don't know, maybe Tristan needs to sit. Maybe Thiago needs to sit. I don't know.
Thiago needs a break. And we can't afford that right now because of the points we've dropped. Can't bench our best player. He still is.
Yeah.
Even when he's not doing it, still our best player.
But so Jennifer, though, what my point was, though, is that if the personnel has changed, we firmed up the midfield. We have the attacking pieces that we didn't have starting at the beginning of last year. We have some amazing depth. We have a really firmed up defense. We're looking good there, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is the constant? But we, like I said, the personnel has changed, but we find ourselves in a similar situation as last year. What's the constant versus the variables? The constant, unfortunately, is Pineda. So find ourselves in the exact same position that we were last year, but a completely different set of fucking people.
Riddle me this, though, because
there's
the problem last year was the defense. We went out and got new people and fixed the defense, but the same fucking offensive players are now not scoring.
Yeah. So where does
these are not different people. The only person that's different is Araújo for Saba.
That's a conundrum, man. It really, truly is. Because what you're saying is accurate. At the end of the day, I don't think it's gonna matter because his job's on the line. It just is, rightly, wrongly, fairly, not.
Let me ask another question, okay? And I'm gonna use name a coach that's been at a club for a long time. Unfortunately, the only person I can think of is Jim Curtin. That's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head. How long
has he been at the club? Ryan Schmetzer, Seattle.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, how where Pineda came from.
Right.
And Seattle feels like they were actually missing Pineda in his tactical mind there in the assistant role. They really feel like they're missing him.
But that's not really my point. Hold on. The Union had a run of three or four seasons of just shit. Lower half to mid-table play all season. Season after season after season. Mediocre. We'll just say average to mediocre play. Were they calling for his head?
Yeah.
Potentially.
They were.
But the club stuck with him Mm-hmm. And they stuck and they stuck and they stuck and they stuck. And then they had back-to-back seasons of really, really excellent play because they were able to, you know, things change is what I'm saying. Do we think, this is a poll I am now posing to both of y'all, is the front office willing to stick it out?
I think the expectations of the two clubs are different.
Yeah, I number one, it's not okay. Unfortunately, it's not an apples to apples comparison because part of where Jim Curtin's struggles came from is he did not have a front office that was willing to go out and invest in talent, mm-hmm. and he had to get it done with kids from the academy, okay. right? Sure. And we, on the other hand, have a club who is mm-hmm. spending to the cap limit. We are, you know, the second highest payroll or third highest payroll after Miami, mm-hmm. right? But like we're right in there as far like this club is not unwilling to spend and go out and give, you know, Pineda whatever, mm-hmm. basically whatever Pineda and Boca come up with to say, I want this. Mm-hmm. If it's within the confines of semi-legality, making it work in MLS cap land, mm-hmm. the club will give them what they ask for. Mm-hmm. They have never once said, no, we can't afford that dude. You can't make a deal with him. Right.
No, money, so I don't think money has really been a factor.
That is a vastly different situation than the one that you have up in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. where they had to be patient to wait for those players to come up and grow into their roles, which is right. a little bit of a, because their front office was never going to go out and spend to get that. KC, you kind of had a similar thing. You had a less stingy owner per se, mm-hmm. but KC was never going out and spending the money on DPs.
So they never viewed Curtin as
recent
a,
years. As, not probably, Toledo.
Really not until the last couple, of seasons.
Right. So they you're just saying in Philly, they never viewed Curtin as part of the problem. They never viewed
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they didn't. No. They called, why they weren't look, winning. Their fan base called for his head for 3 years straight.
Right.
I'm not saying that they were right or wrong in doing so. I'm just saying the circumstances as to why Curtin was losing in Philly are vastly different than they are here.
And
Curtin
I don't
was
think
playing with a bunch of kids.
I don't think Philly's front office viewed Curtin as the problem.
No,
like you know I said, what I mean.
It's sort of
they knew what they were spending on what was going on as well. And
I guess what I'm really getting at, and I was thinking about this earlier today, was. Clubs are going to have up years and down years. You know, we've been around, you know, 7 years now, and we had
eight.
Yeah, we had our up years. Is it fucking eight? Oh my god. Yeah, eight. and we've had our down years. We thought this was gonna be an up year, and it should be. And
I guess what I'm
wondering is are we just going to keep every time we have a down year, are we going to get a new coach?
That was my answer to your question, right? And that's where I think my hesitation for saying Pineda out yeah. comes from because.
Right. Like, are they going to give the guy a real shot
I
here?
I mean, this, that, is therein lies it. The problem because, again, and we were kind of going back and forth in this in our little group text about, like, mm-hmm. are there indications that Pineda has lost the locker room?
Right.
And we,
like Glenn pointed out, there's no way for us to know that.
There's no way for us to know that. But in terms of, like, what was visibly going on when Frank DeBoer lost the locker room, what was visibly going on when Heinze lost the locker room. Right. That is not what we are, what we're seeing here. You've seen a few flashes of it. You've seen there's a post by Diop, you know, on Instagram, but
Gigi's
you know,
made a couple comments about enjoying a firmer hand, you know, but you're right.
That's
not to
one,
the level we saw
and
with previous dismissals.
No, and then the only other indicator you might have is Miles walking for less money going to Cincinnati and not, you know, again.
I think it's a stretch. I think there's other extenuating
factors. I'm not saying that's the only reason.
Yeah. But you could maybe extrapolate something from that.
I'm just like, if you're looking for needles in haystacks, there's a few little things that show, but like there has been far more kind of off the training pitch, brotherly banter, stuff like that going on that kind of indicates more of a group of players that are at least somewhat bonded together.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a complete
No, so it's Discord, it's very,
between the players out there. It looks like they want to be there.
If there is one, it looks like it's being kept very, very, very much under wraps. Mm-hmm. And to finish, you know, your question, yeah. Frank DeBoer was here for what, 2.5 years, a year and a half?
Year and a half.
Heinze was here for 5 months.
Yeah.
You know, then we had Rob Valentino, and then we still four managers, managers in a 5-year span.
Right. And I hate it.
Which is no way to build consistency, and it's no way to build culture, and it's no way to build a playing identity, which ultimately...
Which is what I thought they were investing in with Pineda. I really thought that they invested in Pineda for the long haul, because he's a young coach. Well, he understood us, and they really thought that they were investing in him as a...
But we also need
a legacy kind of guy.
We also need to be a little careful with they, because the they that hired him is not the they that is here now. So that's different.
True. Yes.
And he's been given a longer leash than, I mean, look how quickly Frank was let go.
Yeah. No, I know.
Pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
Heinze, different situation, violating a CBA. Like, you can't do that. You're gone.
Yeah.
I don't. Garth. And how he's operated so far at this club does not strike me as the type of person that's just going to let this linger. See out his contract, resign to this is what the year is. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Based on the player acquisitions and moves we've made.
Mm-hmm. He's very aggressive.
No. So if May continues to slide, I don't think he sees much of June.
No, I don't either.
I really don't. But either way, it's painful. Incoming Mason Mills segue. They can't help with this particular pain in the neck. True. If you have a literal pain in the neck, they can assist with that. You should go see them if you have pains in your neck, your back, any other your joints, feet, ankles, knees, whatever, wherever your pain is at, they can help you better manage it, treat it, and help you get to the root of the problem. And the really cool thing about them is they will help you if it's not something that they can address. Like if they're thinking, you know, along the lines, God forbid, you might need surgery if it's severe enough or some other physical therapy, some things outside their direct wheelhouse, they will be upfront with you about that and help guide you to where you need to get to. What other doctor, what other like business out there won't just take your money, right? That won't take advantage of you, because we all have that fear no matter what we're doing. If it's a doctor, if you're going to get your car fixed, whatever it is, we just want to deal with genuine, earnest people, and that's what you're going to get here. So know that going in. These people are wonderful. They're family. They will take care of you. They will care about you. Give them a call at 404-321-0082, or you can find them on the web, masonmillcairo.com. You can schedule your appointments there. You can also just call to schedule your appointments to see Dr. Cohen or Dr. Farisi. You're going on Tuesday. I went this past Saturday. Before the pain in the neck started. I should have gone afterwards. What was I thinking? I thought I was going to feel great after this match, but lo and behold, I do not. So I guess I got to schedule another appointment before I take off for Alaska. Programming note. We are going to try our best, depending on how strong the Wi-Fi is on the boat that I'm about to be on to go get married in Alaska. We're going to try to keep this thing going next week. Time differences. Jennifer's going to be traveling. She's going to be in a different time zone. I'm going to be in a different time zone. You're going to be doing CNN stuff. We're going to do our best, but we might miss next week's win, God please, against DC. A team that is also not good, which we've fared fairly well against teams that aren't good. Those are our only wins against.
We haven't given up goals to teams that aren't very good. So
Okay, bottom half dominators. Let's go, five stripes. Alrighty. We're going to do our best to do it, but we'll see what happens. But anyhow.
Just so everybody knows, Glenn has a really valid excuse for this, because he's getting married.
Yeah, so I'm getting married.
Yeah, so congratulations, Yay! Glenn. Feel free to spam Glenn with all your Muppets Take Manhattan memes, because his fiance really likes that movie.
Do it.
It is one of Lily's favorites, and much love and appreciation to her, because she does a ton of work for this pod as well. She doesn't show up in the audio or the video portions, but Any of the social media stuff you see going on, especially on Instagram, all the graphics, everything, that's all her.
It's true.
100%. So
she's part of the family, and now they're making it legal. Yay!
Hey, man, I found someone that said yes. I said, okay, where do we sign? We better do this then right now.
You know, it's hurry, before she changes her mind.
I know. It took me 41 years to get this far, so I'm happy for it. All right. Moving on. Do we have low-key? There were a number of takes that I really want to get through from people, a lot, as you might expect, on Pineda and a couple on some specific players. I don't really know if we have a low-key man of the match on this one. I would go with Luis Abram. I thought he was outstanding, again, for the work and responsibilities he did. I thought he was solid, and I think he's made it really difficult when Derek Williams gets healthy to decide what to do here. Obviously, Stian coming back, he's going to take that spot from Noah, but I think we're going to see Luis, Stian Gregerson, and Caleb back there, and Brooks, and I don't know if Derek Williams is really going to hang on to that spot, because
I don't Luis see has, any reason. I don't.
Luis
I
has
mean,
done
I,
really well.
I don't see why they can't both play. I don't.
You know, it's really you know, can we
who, Noah and Stian?
No. Derek and Abram.
Well, someone's gonna fall off.
I they can both play. They can swap out for each other. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I but not taking the pitch at the same time. Yeah. They
oh
can,
no.
No. It's a good problem to have.
That is yet another thing that is eerily similar to last year, where who was where we were playing Juanjo Peralta. Because Pineda wanted his offense and his ball forward and whatever. And, you know, here's Luis in the background just kind of doing the work. Someone gets hurt. You know, Parada's messing it up. But that was actually one of the moves that Pineda made to try to, like, break the skid, was to put Abram in, I think it was June, finally, for Parada.
Yeah, you were a very Parada big proponent of Abram the entire time. You were like, put him in, for the God's sake.
The man plays for the Peruvian national team for a reason. That's not, like I said, mm-hmm. It's not like playing. No, all due respect, Jay Fortune, that's not the same thing as playing for Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different quality, but I'm just saying.
Well, Abram's like, older. This is what, he this has is more what experience. Abram does. Jay Fortune is very young. He's still learning. Like, that's.
Oh, I'm not trying to knock the player or the program.
I know that, but I agree. It's not the same thing.
No, that's like not. Oh yeah, like oh he plays.
He's shown his quality.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make, and yeah. You know, I think a lot of people, the Williams starting the first part of the season was very, very surprising to a lot of people.
Us included. Yeah,
my low key man of the match was Sleash, just because I think every match Sleash
was mine.
Mm-hmm. Grows more and more into that holding midfield thing of beauty that we have asked for.
He's made some runs last night that
and he
just came out of nowhere.
No,
like, wait a second,
finally,
you were just way the hell down there. How did you get over there so fast?
He's finally like
they're smart.
I think he's finally finding his footing in the offensive third as well, and starting to contribute with more protective, solid passes to open up plays and get the balls to the playmakers. Not that the playmakers are doing much with it, but he's getting it there, and it's not his fault. So that's why he's my low-key guy.
One of those playmakers that's not doing super well that a couple people have had a few takes on is Almada. Something I was looking for from him in this match was to stop drifting out so wide, play more central, receive the ball in a dangerous area, take a player or two on the dribble, draw them to you, and then release at the right time, in that right moment. Someone's got to make that run, too. If he's got no one to release, too, then that's all for nothing.
Well, it should.
But if he can occupy a couple defenders, mathematically, someone should be open.
Someone should be open.
And that's not happening with any sort of regularity.
Saba should be making that run. And I did see him a couple times make the run, and then Almada didn't see it. Mosquera made the run too. Brooks made the run. There were runs being made. Almada just didn't see it. He was doing, and I saw another person have it, you know, a similar take to what I said 2 weeks ago or what I said last week, which is why is he dribbling into five defenders?
Yeah,
I get
the candy
it.
Man.
He's drawing people to you, but you've got to be able to get rid of it too.
Candyman 132 agrees with you. Thinks it's time to sit Almada. He's pressing way too much, getting dribble happy.
That's
we're
the
just
one.
Talking about, and not looking for that outlet when he draws the defenders.
Right.
I still think, I mean, I think that's fair. I still think he's not receiving the ball in, like, when he's on the dribble, when he's in possession, not in really dangerous areas, not where I need him to have that ball and draw those defenders and create space for others.
Are we asking too much of him? Are we asking, what I mean is, are we asking him to wear too many hats? You know, are we asking him to receive the ball somewhere right at the, in the middle, like mid pitch, and then have to be the play designer moving from there on out? Or are we asking him to receive the ball and be the goal scorer? Or is he the playmaker, the one that, you know, the, just, are we asking him to do too many different things?
I'm
or should we
him
have
to do
him
what he did
just
last
score
year.
Fucking goals? You know,
I wouldn't ask him to score goals. I would ask him to set up goals.
Right.
And if you're holding on to the ball for too long, you're not setting up the goals. And Pineda, in his press conference, one of the things that I noticed in the press conference, and I want to actually like get this correct.
Sure.
Because like there, I looked at like he was saying that,
and I like a lot of Pineda's press conferences. I want to preface what you're about to say that I really enjoy his pressers and how much detail he gives, the way he interacts with the press. I think that's a positive. I think that's a credit to him. Now there may be things in his pressers, and there was last night, that I don't agree with. I.e., if he genuinely thinks that the first half last night was good. And that we were creating chances. Okay, I'm not sure what match you were watching. I disagree with that. I don't know if that's just coach speak, but if he really thinks that first 45 and large parts of the second were good, I think we have a problem.
Yeah, because
it flat
the same
out
match.
Wasn't, and that's
it was terrible.
Apparent to everyone.
First half yesterday was terrible.
I think Pineda is at least acknowledging, in one of the things that he said yesterday in the presser, he's at least acknowledging something that has been a giant pet peeve of mine for the last several seasons with him, which is the pointless possession that produces nothing. Because what he said at six, I think around 16:23 of the presser, in context of answering a question about, like, we're talking about why they were trying to continue to play over the top and maybe making some short passes. And he said that they didn't see the visual cues in the second half, so they didn't adjust the shape, how they were pressing, so probably they didn't see that. But I think we had opportunity to play. Those long passes in behind, I think, were when we were stretching them with those passes behind. And then when we absorb pressures in those moments and some silly buildups, where that was one of the goals was scored. So he's talking about all, like, especially in the dying minute of the match, right? That, you know, when the goal was scored, it was silly back and forth that we didn't need trying to build out of the back. In the very last minute, our backs against the wall, we're absolutely desperate. What are they doing? They're playing fucking kick a can. At the center hashtag line, instead of pushing the ball up forward. It's like, we're all sitting there in supporter section screaming, like, do you not realize this is the last minute of the match?
Yeah.
Just, so let me ask you this then.
Go.
Is
so
this
all I'm saying I was yelling Pineda in my room by myself.
That is the first time I've ever seen Pineda say anything about pointless possession that leads to nothing other than coughing the ball up and scoring.
So then is this a case of, and you could make this about other coaches too, of players just not listening to the coach? We've seen that before. Players revolting against the coach.
I tend at this, for me personally, right now, I don't know that, I don't, and this is where there was a really interesting discussion going on over the last couple of days, over the last like day and a half or so in the Footy Mob Discord on how valuable are stats like XG. And do these stats tell the real story, especially when you have multiple stat generators, right? Because if we look at all of the supposed metrics of the offensive game, there is absolutely no reason why we should not be one of the top scoring teams in the league, but it is not happening. Those
so take your metrics
goals.
And shove it.
Right. So basically you could take the metrics and shove it, but like You know, so this is the whole Moneyball discussion, because most professional sports are now built on statistical analysis, and those stats, you know, ultimately should come good. And how long did Billy, what's his face, sit with playing that system and going on 13 game losing streaks before they turn around and set a record almost for a 22 game winning streak? And I remember very distinctly the argument that, you know, the great Philip Seymour Hoffman makes as Art Howe is like, at some point in time, you know, instinct and knowledge of the game, that has to be a factor too. Huh. And right now, I think what we're missing is kind of that tinker toy connector piece between the stat side and the sport knowledge side. Like they're not connected somehow, just in talking all of this out. So it's like the guys with the feel for the game, right? They're not necessarily getting their voice heard enough with the guys in the room with the computers and the data analytics. And so, like,
feel versus stats, it's interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that's where the disconnect is, because the stats, you know, if you look at the stats,
we should be better. I like the underlying numbers.
Not only that, yeah, but if you look at the stats, yeah, then you have to put it on the player performances, because the stats the stats show the job getting done. You're creating.
And I think that's fair, by the way. It doesn't have to be all pinned out.
I'm just saying you're creating all of these chances, and Gigi hits two crossbars and Saba boots a ball after completely beating the goalie. And, you know, we're all of a sudden we can't score on a set piece to save our life, when last year we were top team in the league scoring on set pieces. We're, you know, that's a big fat reversion. So I don't know.
Well, on player performances, there was someone else who's been called out quite a bit. And Callum Ewing feels this way, especially about Mascara, just not good enough, and feels also that it was a mistake to retain him. And the club in general, he feels, does not hold players to account. I pretty firmly disagree with the accountability thing, given the amount of turnover that we've had with our roster. I think there's accountability there. Now, if accountability to Callum or to anyone means you want the coach to put them on blast at a press conference, if that is accountability to you, putting that pressure in the public eye, okay, well, then you're not seeing it. And I get that. I don't think that's accountability for me. We don't know what he's saying to these players in the locker room in private, you know, which is where I prefer the business to be handled. I don't want our laundry aired out. I don't need him to Jose Mourinho this thing. I really don't, in order to put pressure on players. You can do that internally. So I prefer to handle it that way. But as far as Mascara goes, yeah, he's not doing well, but a number of players who were doing well last season are not doing well this season. But I think the club had justification for keeping him, considering how well he did coming back in a tough moment last season.
I think Mascara, for me, like, just does better as a, you know, he's a much, much better super sub.
Yeah, that's right? a big part of it, right? He's not meant for 90.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the wheels for 90.
Doesn't have the mind for it.
He's got.
Let me give you 90 in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
boom. We said that was the perfect recipe for him. I'm surprised.
Oh, and he's great at it.
I mean, I know that right now we're a little bit we're waiting for Jean Day to come back, and I know that is part of it. But we discovered that's what we need of him is 20 very, very, very fast minutes.
Yep.
So that's great. Yeah. Yeah. That's not Mascara's fault.
That's okay, by the way. To be that player, by the way.
Well, that means Pineda's using him incorrectly.
But he has no choice.
Pineda, we're in a spot. I know.
With the situation on the left wing, and absolutely nobody we've put.
Well, you got your wish. You want to move on to take one?
We can move on to take one.
I did get up front too. I'm sorry. It's not like there's no options.
But you did get your wish with Saba playing on the left,
and it was you got it.
But, well, as soon as we did, we started going down the right. We didn't really utilize him.
No.
It almost felt like a punishment. They were like, okay, great. Well, so you moved him over there, but you're still only going down the right.
He tried. Pineda tried it, and then the players, they didn't do it.
Right. So every time we seem to pose something of like, a Pineda, why isn't Pineda doing this? Why isn't Pineda doing that? We are coming up with answers to those questions that seem to circle back to the players right now. We're saying Yeah, but the players aren't executing. Yeah, but the players aren't executing.
It's tough, man.
We can't get rid of the top. We can't get rid of the starting 11.
No, it's not going to happen.
So that's not going to happen. So
Pineda's
going
to be held to account.
It's going to happen.
And I think if you want to ask a question about accountability, and you know, mm-hmm. where is Derek Etienne Jr. right now?
That's a good point.
Winning with Toronto today,
and we took a loss on that.
We took a loss
because it wasn't working out. Like, yep. Yeah, that's accountability for me. All right, number two. We've already kind of talked about it. We're just not using him to his full effect, or he's not using himself to his full effect, which he can do, which we know, man, when he's in dangerous positions with the ball, you got to honor that. And mathematically, if you're drawing enough defenders to you, that should create space for a Gigi, a Saba, whoever to do something, receive the ball, and then maybe give and go with Thiago. It's just not happening. The combination plays up top, it's just not happening with him this season. And I don't have a good explanation why, he's burnt out. He's burnt out.
How is he? I mean, is he burnt out from playing too much with the national team and blah, 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 whatever?
He didn't have an offseason. He had no offseason at all.
Do you think he's checked out on it? I mean, like, do you want to buy into the argument that he's already got his foot out the door to Europe and that's where part of this? Do you think?
I think he's mentally cooked.
So do you think benching him for a match or two or whatever, do you think that helps him? Or do you think that hurts him?
How long until the international break?
Another month and a half. If we were in the position, if we hadn't dropped these easy, soft points, well, I'd send him on a plane.
Yeah, that's too long.
Go back to Argentina. Go be with your family for a week. We're fine. Johnny will step in. We'll be fine. But we can't do that now because of the situation.
I think we need him to step up. I'm sorry. If we're going to ask anything from him, we're going to ask him to kind of buckle down and be that guy, he's got to. And now it's got to happen right now. We need him to we'll be like, look, this is the dog days. This is when we need you the most right now. We've got to put some fucking positive results together. Like I said, wins, not just positive results, not just a really hard fought draw. These have to be wins. And we need them now. Badly. So I'm going to need you to do whatever you got to do, big guy, and step up.
He's going to have to put the team on his back a little bit.
You want
to
have that 1-0 on the back of your shirt. That means more than just that means better than just being a free kick specialist. You got
to
step up.
And in fairness, like, we need people to finish the chances he creates.
Agreed.
We need that too.
Agreed.
And I'm sure he's frustrated with that.
Well, that's fine. If you lay 10 chances out there, a really excellent chances, we got to hope somebody's going to finish at least one of them. Yeah. But you know what? If 10's not enough, then you need to put out 15.
You need to do 11.
Yeah. Then you got to do 12. 11 or 12.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah,
I understand.
We are asking something of him, but if you want to be that guy, then you got to do it.
So what about the soft goals? Because we're giving them up again. In fairness, we're to Moyamba.
Right. It's here. But, it's a mentality.
Moyamba's short. He's short, and he got out jumped there. It would be really helpful to have a 6'5" Norwegian in those moments. I'm not excusing it. It could still be better, but you know,
the
softness.
Glenn, you can't take that take because it would not have been because it wouldn't have been a 6'5" Norwegian's job to mark the man that Tristan was supposed to mark. Okay, Stian would have been elsewhere in the pitch because Noah Cobb marked a different guy, and that's where Stian would have been. Bottom line is
fair enough in that moment. Fair enough.
Mbeumba checked out mentally, and he did it twice.
Yeah,
he didn't react at the right time.
He's much better at bossing on the ball when it's in front of him too. If you look at him out in the middle of the pitch when T goes up with someone else for a header, he's far more physical than he was. He just literally. He didn't do anything.
I'm saying just in general, it would be helpful to have him, but fair play.
No, no. We're not disagreeing with you because it will be helpful to have him back, but wouldn't necessarily, we can't say for sure that was the guy he would have been marking anyway, he just didn't try.
What's the movie with the guy who was really angry and he was good at something. And I can't remember. I don't like there's
gotta
like,
get more context than that.
That's the most general description of a movie.
No. But like he went
circle
to
back.
Like, he went to like anger management therapy and
anger management.
It. Anger management.
No, it might have been. Oh no. You know what? No. It's Major League. And I'm thinking of Pedro and he stopped.
No, in Major League 2.
He used to be so angry, whatever.
In Major League
2. It was 2.
Yeah. He finds his zen and he stops hitting home runs, whatever.
He goes, I love you, man.
Yeah. He goes, I think
that was a beautiful
I think someone needs to go poke Tristan with something or beat him with stinging nettles or just get him angry again.
Because what happens later in that movie is it's the Japanese player who comes in and he's like, you have no. And he looks it up and he goes, huevos. Marbles. He's saying, where is your marbles? And he's talking about these balls. It's like, you've lost your fucking balls. Dude.
Yeah.
What happened? And
he's
like, huevos? And he goes, and then
Jennifer,
he gets up and hits a fucking home run.
You might have a point with Moyumba, and I want to give him a little grace because English, second language, get it.
Sure.
But in his press conference and in others, when anyone, specifically this time Doug, asks him a question, and hey, fair play to Doug. He brought a little bit of heat to Pineda asking, you know, some of the supporters are not very happy and they feel like we need a change at coach. So tough questions asked, respect for him asking those tough questions when he has to. I think he does a good job. But with Moyumba, when he asked him, what's going on? What can you explain these defensive lapses, these mental breaks? Moyumba is kind of, and again, English, second language. Doesn't really know. It's just kind of football. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And he didn't have like a clear, concise, like, this is what went wrong. Now, he may know that. He may actually know that and wasn't able to express it eloquently. But it struck me a bit that if players maybe aren't understanding themselves what's going wrong, that could be an issue. Mistakes happen. You need to understand why.
Can I ask another question too? Are we still severely lacking a captain in the middle of the pitch?
No. I don't think so anymore.
You don't think so?
No.
Because we don't have it.
No, but I think
unless you want to hand the armband to somebody.
I think you have enough leadership vocalizing on the pitch more so than we had.
Okay.
The last.
I agree.
Who's the leader? Who's the captain in the field?
Multiple people.
GG Brooks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Williams before he got hurt.
Definitely
was
there.
Sure. Very, very. Okay. And I'm fine with having there being like defensive midfielder.
And I think that's a role that Sleash will grow into at some point, even though he's kind of
I can definitely see that.
But, you know, when he's more comfortable with the league style of play and,
that'll come.
You know, really, really feeling his thing, I could see him stepping up and becoming more vocally involved in that.
Because that's something, Tristan not stepping up and sort of bossing his man during that set piece is something that a captain can be like, come on, you got to be better than that. You know, get in there, you know, do something.
I just want to point out that it was a very, very good thing for all the children that watch Atlanta United that one Yorgos Yakumakis was not mic'd up last night.
Yeah. No, he's vocal.
Front.
You're right about
I
that.
I was in the front of the supporters section and I could lip read every cuss word that was coming out of that man's mouth.
And he says
None
it in English.
Was...
He does a
yes.
very, he says it in English. He wants
there
to make sure
no
that everybody
filter.
Hears him. That is for sure. No, and they showed a couple on, if you do a rewatch, they showed a couple and I'm like, oh, GT.
Yeah.
he should be angry. And
he
I'm
be
glad
mad.
That he expresses that. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't we counterattack?
Somebody's got to.
Why don't we counterattack?
I don't
Our
know.
One goal came off some quick direct counterplay. Which sure would be nice if we did that more often, because I think that's a big strength of ours.
We
used to be able to kill teams on the counter. We got the speed.
We do.
If we could just be more prepared for those moments and take advantage
and,
and
be
go.
There. Yeah.
Don't just slow up the play. Let's go for it, man. Like,
Gigi
if it doesn't come
will
off,
be
I'll
there.
Understand.
He loves that. And Saba, too. Saba will, too, because there's been a bunch of times where both of them have been called offside because they're trying to make that run. So if that's a tactic that we wanted to try and focus more on, I think that we could do that. I don't know.
I
don't know why we're not focusing on that.
I wish we would.
And, And Brad, you know, he's played some balls out of the, you know, he's kicked the long ball.
Brad has been
trying to spring that.
Like, I watched every.
I know, and you asked for it. And you asked for it. You're like, why are we not doing that more?
All right. So
frustrated.
Oh, you need to ask it. Keep asking, Jennifer, because the shit that you keep asking for is coming true.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to ask for something for DC. I'm going to ask for something.
It's got to be reasonable.
Because, look, man, I learned the shit. I learned how to say your name. You came here. You sat down. You put the number fucking 7 on your back and said, nah, you're going to learn how to say my name when I score the goals. You know what, Yorgos Yakimakis? Put your money where your mouth is. Put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm done. Come on,
Stop
man.
Stop hitting the fucking crossbar.
You wanted all of this. I listened to your glorious podcast with Taylor Twellman this week. Which
very insightful. Very revealing. Very candid.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to it, all you want to do is go out and fall in love with this man. And it's, man, it's a shame he's married and has 2 kids. Cause like, yeah,
not for him.
Keeper. No, not for him. And I'm sure they're very, you know, we've seen it on the Insta. They're very, very lovely looking people and they're a lovely looking family. And you know what?
And Atlanta, you're ready to wreck it, aren't you? You're ready to just wreck that family.
Atlanta, I'm not that bad of a stalker. I'm really not, I promise. But no, I just, you know, he said one of the reasons he wanted to come here is because the city of Atlanta is a great place to raise a family. You know,
damn right.
Let me tell you, Yorgos, let me tell you, this whole city is ready to build another statue.
We are ready to love you.
So ready
we
for
will.
It. We want you. We want you to be part of the fabric that is this town.
Yeah.
And
take that crown, my man.
You know what? Come
it's
on.
Like, I could see the beginning. I could see the beginning of his like action story in a city that's crying out for a hero. One man who came. I can see that.
He's like dressed in a Greek god draped like Herculean. Like
we will absolutely
bolt in his hand.
You're not wrong. This is a very passionate and you know just a city that does that is crying out for that. Because we had it, you know what I mean? And we will love him. We will do it for every single one of these players. If they play for the badge, then we will play for them. It is totally 100% true. And that's great. And he's not wrong. So show us and we will never let you go.
That's true.
It's true.
Yorgos Yakimakis, do not make me sing Bonnie Tyler at you. Do not make me sing the song.
We need a hero, that's for sure. All right, let's wrap it up with talking about Gonzo for just a little bit. I don't want to beat a dead horse. We've already talked about him a lot.
But the
majority of the discussion, the takes that we've gotten, the other takes that are out there are about Gonzo. And that's to be expected. Let's kick it off with Amy Anna Marie. Just being frustrated in general. She recognizes that we have been... have had the Pineda buttons, Pineda out buttons.
Yeah, no.
Moving a little bit closer.
This match, I took the key and I opened the box.
Yeah. She might be one of the only ones still off the Pineda out wagon. She's not ready to blame the coach for players making poor choices in our own half and being unable to stay switched on. Fair enough. But she does get at some point, she's going to have to accept that we may lose an incredibly talented but young coach who the players all seem to love because they can't get that cleaned up. And I'm forced to agree with her. I think he's a student of the game.
Yep.
I think he's a really smart guy, good tactician, knows everything about every team.
Yeah.
His press conferences, like the details he goes into.
Yeah.
It's impressive, to be honest.
So he's a student.
But if it
of
doesn't
the
translate to results, if he's a student of the game, do we need a student?
Not
or
anymore.
Do we need a professor?
We at least need an associate professor, but I think at this
adjunct
time, I would prefer a tenured professor because we don't have
tenured.
We
had that,
you know, and going back to what we were talking about
Klopp
earlier
in
on my wildest
I would
in
take,
my,
I would take Mourinho at this point in time.
You would take Jose Mourinho. No,
yes,
no, thank
I would
you.
Take Mourinho.
No.
If Klopp came here,
you couldn't get me in the fucking building.
You would, if Klopp came here, I don't know what you would do.
Me?
Cry, melt, laugh, all of it, all at the same time.
Smile, laugh, cry, die. Mary probably fuck, that kill. It has to be in that order.
All right. Most other people are the general consensus.
I want to point out what Kevin from Charlotte said about.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Because I feel like he paints a really accurate picture of
this. He does. You want to read that out?
Yeah, 10 games in this year is enough to paint this year's picture.
Sure.
Same picture as prior years under Pineda. Can't go on winning streaks. Massively underperforming on the road with 4 wins out of 40 road matches. Can't beat good to great teams. Can't win in must-win situations. And unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it and as much as I want to see continuity in the managerial seat in this town.
Continuity in general. We know it. We don't do well with changes player or coach-wise, but...
And that's
sometimes
my whole,
we do, though. Sometimes you make a change.
This is
runs.
The same story as 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, 2022, we've got, you know, a massive amount of injuries or whatever, but it was the same. Okay, cool. We're going to have a good start. Things are looking good. Blah, blah, blah. Derailed by the end of April.
Yep.
Last year, off to a good start. You know, get lots of points. We're top three in the league. Come the end of April, we're drowning. We're drowning. And here we are in
the same
place spot. Again. It's been almost a calendar year since we've won on the road.
Yeah. Are we at the, jeez, it's just, man. It's jeez. Just completely unacceptable. Is that where
I think so?
How many more chances are we going to give it? What other excuses are we going to, it's not an excuse, but what I'm saying is how many more chances, like remember, and I think I even used the same fucking metaphor last year. Remember my frog in the boiling water?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So to anybody who didn't hear me say that last year, it's quite simply, if you take a frog and you put a frog into boiling water, it'll jump out right away.
Right? Yeah, we're getting cooked.
But the frog and you put it into cold water and you heat the water up slowly, the frog will boil to death.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that is that an outside looking in, if you were to come into this situation right now and you look at what we're facing
over
the last
water.
3 years, you'd look at boiling water and say, get the fuck out now.
And Bartimus Prime agrees with you because Bart doesn't think it's a good idea to replace him now. But he's certainly not shown that he's the guy, meaning Pineda.
I want to expand on
how
on
long
Bart.
Do we wait?
I want to expand on Bart a little bit because I think he's made some other really good points too. That Pineda may have been past tense the guy, the right Maybe. Guy for the time when he initially came in. Is he the guy to take us to the next level? Boy, it's getting harder and harder to make that case. Even if we beat Charlotte Independence on Tuesday, if we don't, oh Lord. Even if we beat DC on Saturday, if we don't, oh Lord. You know, even if we string together a couple good results and like, but is he really the guy to go to the next level? The club's not, we're not satisfied with
this
level.
I don't know.
Nobody's satisfied with this level.
Yeah.
We've upgraded on the pitch. I think we have. I think the consensus is there amongst the entire fan base.
Yeah.
We have upgraded on the pitch. Have we upgraded at coach? You know, it's a fair question. It's tough. I don't like it. He's a nice guy. And the players, I think, do like him. And the supporters, the things he does at the training ground, the culture he wants to build. This sucks.
Yeah.
This sucks. Anybody, when the time comes, and I think it will, sooner rather than later, where he's dismissed. Anybody who revels in this, no, that's just gross. I'm sorry, but that's gross.
Because
you've got assholes. This whole giant reactionary group of people that live in this town that are all, I never wanted him here in the first place. I've been calling for him to be out for a year, and it's.
I think we're setting ourselves up.
This is my whole. I know, but this is my whole problem with, and one of the reasons why I think Bart is not wrong here. We fire Pineda tomorrow.
Right.
And then we have to literally hit reset on the whole season.
The whole thing.
Because you will get maybe 2 or 3 matches of a new coach bump or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have to learn an entirely new system
now,
in the middle
well,
of the season.
I expect that Garth and Boca have already done their homework on identifying coaching alternatives. I'm sure they have contingencies. Any good front office would. I don't think they'll bring in somebody who wants to upend the system. I would love if we're going to go down that road to bring in somebody who is interested in a little bit of counterattacking. But you're not wrong in that it's still going to be a big change. It's throwing the season away, no. But boy, are you changing things. Now, every once in a while, Thomas Tuchel will come in and win Champions League mid-season. Every once in a while, those things happen. And then it's
Thomas Tuchel doesn't have a job right now, does he?
No, he doesn't. Oh, Tuchel in? Is this what we're saying?
God, I hate myself.
I don't know, guys.
Did I miss something?
Like,
did Bayern let him go?
Oh, yeah.
Did I miss that?
Because months ago, they announced that he was
that he wasn't coming. Because I was going to say, because my Stuttgart just beat them yesterday, and it was fucking fabulous, by the way.
Tuchel is jobless. It's been weird for him to know 3 months in advance that you're not coming back. It's weird,
that's an
right?
Interesting, that won't happen either, but that's an interesting
They're still
idea.
In Champions League. There's still an opportunity there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is tough. It's brutal. There are reasons to retain and let him play out a bit more. There's reasons to make a change. I don't think it's clear cut and dry, but it's a results business. None of this matters. Everything that we're talking about right here, speculating, is it his fault? Is it not? At the end of the day, it's not going to matter. No. Because if we don't win, he's gone.
If we don't win, he's gone. Period.
That's it. And he knows this.
We're just there. Yeah, we're there.
And, you know, we had all set a benchmark. I think we had all kind of agreed last week on, you know, needing to get something like 14 to 16 points.
And we're already down one.
And we're already down probably one of the three most winnable matches that we have in May.
Ain't good.
That's not a good way to
not a good way to start it off. May. Yeah.
So my last question to y'all, what if anything can Gonzo do to save his job now?
Win
now.
How does he win now? Like, what does he have to do that's different?
Well, I wish I knew. I don't know why it's not translating. Why his knowledge, his expertise that he has missed me with the derogatory comments about him not knowing ball or anything. He knows ball. Yeah. He does. Why it can't translate to results, I don't know. And what he needs to do differently, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I guess that could be the last resort. Start throwing players under the bus.
I don't even mean that. I start throwing their asses on the bench. You don't play. You don't perform. You don't fucking play. I don't know.
So does that mean?
It's
so does that mean?
It's him putting
his foot down. So does that mean? That
so we bring in Luke Brennan?
Yeah, do you bring in Luke Brennan on the left because nobody else has gotten the job done?
Fucking, I don't know, man. But it's something.
Is it Miyamba down for Firmino?
I don't know. At least it shows some sort of passion. I really don't want to because it's like fuck. We have to win the only matches that we think we can win.
Yeah,
but if
it's like
I don't know if but. If you're going to try and change things up, maybe change it up for the games that we think we can win if we had to change things up. I don't know.
Well, here's something. I'll end it on this.
There aren't good options.
Let's end it on a little bit of hope. Okay. Weird for me. I know. Let's end it on
you going to give us some new hope?
I'm going to give you some new hope. This team, especially over the past couple of years, slow starts every match, right? We don't seem to really get going until we absolutely have to, right? Because we're being forced to. We gave up a goal and now we have to switch on and respond.
Right.
We have to now. So maybe we do something because that pressure is now there. Why we can't do it beforehand? Why we have to wait until we're at the edge of the cliff to really start, you know, playing? I don't know. But that has been a hallmark of this team in individual matches, right? We don't really get going until we absolutely have to. And I think we're at that absolutely have to mark. So maybe we will now. Maybe this is, we've hit rock bottom-ish. And we go on a 5-game tear.
Maybe.
That's my hope. That's the best I got.
I know.
Is that it seems like that is what this team is. I think we are at that point now. And if we're gonna go do something, well, this is the time. And if it doesn't,
I didn't dislike Longshore's idea on the post game yesterday of changing the formation up and trying to do something a little bit different with going to three in the back, going to three center back position, which would push Lennon and Wiley for looking like more of like a 3-5-2 kind of formation. I mean, obviously it all kind of works differently on the pitch, but having three center backs and taking away some defensive responsibilities, especially for Caleb, where
it's not a bad idea.
We're not getting production on his side of the pitch. And Caleb has shown in the past, he's able to drive the offensive house more. So if we take off the forward player in the Mascara Jande Wolf combo, push Caleb up, move in. Cause I think Noah Cobb has played really, really well. You know, Derek Williams, when he's healthy, he's played really, really well. So you've got three in the back with Abram. You can move Stian into a little bit more of an offensive contribution on set pieces and
play stuff
of his, which he's known to be good at now that he's healthy and getting back in the lineup. And
he
then
should
you have
start soon.
Yeah, he should. He should. I don't think he'll start Tuesday, but I think he'll probably.
No,
start
I don't want him to.
But he'll get
some minutes.
But he could get some minutes. Yeah,
and then start.
But I don't know. I don't know that if you're going to make a last ditch tactical shift, that that's not a bad idea to make. Because Cobb has done nothing but play way above his pay grade, right? Nothing else we're doing.
It could work. No, a 3-5-2 could work because it gives, it lets the midfield spread out a little bit more. It gives you a little bit, as long as we can stay firm in the back, as long as Brooks, you know, if you have somebody like Brooks way out right and you have Caleb way out left, if they're able to track back efficiently. And that, you know what I mean? To be
if
able
you're
to
draft, sliding,
to drop
if
back,
you're, if you're
not
keeping
bad.
If you're keeping a Brom on the pitch with Williams, Cobb, and Gregerson, you don't have to worry about Caleb getting back. He stays up.
That's true, too.
And he plays more of an offensive role, which is what he did really, really well at the start of 2023. Right.
I just don't want to start giving up goals in favor of scoring goals. But
I guess
we just
but,
seem to solve.
But that's
problems.
How we used. But that is how we used to win. Also, we would score four and give up two or even three. But
you know, admittedly, that's the kind of soccer I want to watch.
I know. I want lots of goals.
Making that little tactical tweak might be better suited for that now because of the personnel we have now, as opposed to before.
Yeah.
With the Gregersons of the world.
Well, we also, I mean, on paper, at least, you know, again, assuming Tristan can pull it, you know, pull his cute little head out of, you know, dark places.
Yes.
We should have a better midfield pivot in order to facilitate that and have maybe some different offensive options open up as opposed to always this constant, it has to come out of the back and we have to wait and throw like six or seven tricky passes where we're getting the ball taken away and we're getting beat on mental mistakes in the midfield.
Right. Gives the possession a little bit more meaning when we have it.
Right.
You know, and
also,
even if it's short, one, two, three, it doesn't come off. Try again.
When you have offensive players that are kind of seemingly snake bit, right? If you have to give them something new to think about other than thinking about that the ball just won't go in the net for them.
That's what I was saying before.
Tactical homework, different things to focus on. Maybe they'll stop focusing on how much they keep missing the net and just let the game happen.
Yeah. A mentality, we all know that, whether we've played or not. Mentality, the way that you approach something means entirely whether or not you're going to succeed. It has almost 100% of a factor into whether or not you're going to succeed in what it is you're trying to do. If you don't go into it with the right mentality, it's almost always not going to come off the way you think it will. So when Glenn said before, what's our issue with soft goals? And I said, it's right here. It's up here. You know, the one with Mayumba, he took himself out of the situation before it even began. He wasn't meant to, it wasn't there for whatever reason. We don't know, but the mentality is part of it. And that's what I keep thinking about too, this is the last thing I'm going to say in regards to Pineda, is that if he can't get his players to have the right mentality, that's on him too.
Yep.
That translates to performance too. That's what the players then have to take and run with it. Like I said, because once that whistle blows and they're out there, Pineda has, you know, he can shout from the sideline and he can say stuff to them at the half. But when they're out there, it's up to them to execute. But if he's not sending them out there with the right mentality and the right tactics and the right formation, then that has to be on him, whether we want to keep him around or not. It does.
I think it's a really good point that you both bring up, Jennifer. I think introducing some new ideas, a little freshness,
it could
have an effect. I think that's a really interesting point. At this point, kitchen sink.
I'm not taking credit for it. It's totally what Jason said on the podcast.
If you speak this into existence, it's going to be a very interesting pod that we're going to attempt to do from Alaska.
And Costa Rica,
it's going to be odd. We'll see what happens.
Snellville,
two vast, three
beautiful
vast different
downtown Snellville, and
highly that's underrated. Like we thought about getting married
in Snellville.
We really Snellville was high on our list of consideration for where to get married. It was right under there. All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. This one ran a bit long, but it's going to in these tough moments, and we don't ever want to just oversimplify things because nothing is simple. It's not just coach out, new coach in, everything's fixed. It's not just this player out, new player in, everything's fixed. There's nuance to it. And there's different viewpoints, and it's all valid as long as you're not just like just spewing vitriol and just stirring the pot for stirring the pot's sake. We try to be objective. We try to be balanced. We try to listen to other points of view and reconsider our own as much as possible. And even more so when times are tough. When times are good, shit, it's great, you know. But
everybody, you know, and look, this is why we, you know, we are here for the long haul. Like, we're not the fair weather people. I don't believe there's anything
fair weather. Life. When have we had fair weather, man? It's been a long time since we had some good weather. I ain't seen no blue skies and sunshine, man. What are you talking about?
There was a month ago. We were all excited like a month ago.
we were. Oh,
seems like so long ago.
God, we'll never learn. We appreciate
y'all interacting with us.
Thank you so much.
Like, seriously, so much. Coming up to us on MARTA and saying thank you. Like, y'all are awesome.
Yeah, I'm so sorry if you tapped me on the shoulder and I didn't notice you and I had my headphones in and listening to a press conference and trying to write up takes. Apologies. I really appreciate everyone's interactions. All the compliments that you give you, I'm always taken back by it. It's deeply, deeply gratifying, even more so when times are tough, because nobody wants anything to do with it. It's like, oh, the team's bad and I don't want anything to do with it. And just for someone to take the time to say something positive, to interact with us in an insightful, positive way, it's tough. But we appreciate it. And
it does kind of help keep us going to it.
We're trying, baby. Boy, yeah. Are we trying. We don't want to just come on and be doom and gloom, but.
Well, that's what we do. You know, we come on here and we talk about our opinions of the game and sort of what we see. And if you guys are listening, then we're going to keep talking about it.
We're
going to
keep talking about
it.
We're going to stop talking for now. We will be back, God willing, some way, somehow, next week at some point to discuss. It's got to be a win.
Something.
It's got to be a win against DC. Like, I know we always say there's no such thing as a must win, but boy, I think it is if he wants to keep his job.
Give you that.
Yeah, it's got to happen. All right, y'all. We'll be back in a week's time. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Que tus gastos están contigo.
My Spanish should be better. Jennifer, help me out.
In honor of May the 4th and Cinco de Mayo, may your cats be with you.
Meow. Meow.
Jesus Christ.
Que tus gastos están contigo.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's a good one, Kat. That was a really good one.
Well done.
Snaps to you. Because, yeah, no. Wow.